Have your attention, please. We'll call this a special council meeting to order. And this is a meeting this evening to deal strictly with, of course, the zoning bylaw amendment and the draft plan for the condominium. And before we commence with the agenda, are there any members of council who have any pecuniary interest they wish to declare at this time? Seeing no hands, we'll have that entered into the meeting, into the minutes, and certainly if during the course of this particular meeting any members of council find themselves in conflict, notification to the chair, identifying exactly what the conflict is, and we would certainly enter that into the minutes itself. That brings us to item 3.1, and of course that's to deal with the zoning bylaw amendment that I suggested. And we have our planning consultant, Rebecca Belanger. And Rebecca, I'm going to turn it over to you at this time so you can commence with the presentation.
Thank you, Mayor Hirsch. Good evening, and good evening, members of council. The purpose of this public meeting is to consider an application for zoning bylaw amendment under Section 34 of the Planning Act from Jeffrey Baker on behalf of 235-8191 Ontario Incorporated. The property is also subject to statutory public meeting for draft plan of condominium under Section 51 of the Planning Act. The property affected by the proposed draft plan of condominium and zoning bylaw amendment is located at the northwest corner of Dalhousie and Richmond Street, known municipally as 238 Dalhousie Street. The subject property has 105 feet of frontage on Dalhousie and a depth of 196 feet with a total area of 21,446 square feet. At present, there's a commercial two-story building on the property that is proposed to be demolished. The proposed amendment to the zoning bylaw would change the zoning of the subject lands from special provision CG4 zone to special provision CG10 zone to permit residential units on the first floor, which includes 3 units facing the river, and 2 rental units on the main floor. The remainder of the first floor will be utilized for retail boutiques facing the entrance of the Navy Yard Park. The zoning bylaw amendment is also a requirement to reduce the rear yard setback from 25 feet to 5.9 feet in the northwest corner of the building and 10.5 feet at the southwest corner of the building. All other provisions of the special provision commercial general zone currently in place for this property can be met. The application for draft plan of condominium approval for 17 residential units and retail boutiques has been submitted to the County of Essex for approval. The County has requested, based on Section 51 of the Planning Act, that the statutory public meeting be held for the proposed condominium. The provincial policy statement, Town of Amherstburg official plan policies, and zoning bylaw regulations have been reviewed in the context of these applications. The proposed development meets the policy objectives of Section 1.1 of the provincial policy statement, which promotes efficient development patterns and intensification targets for municipalities. The residential development will minimize land consumption and servicing costs. The development will also improve accessibility in this location and remove the current land use barrier which exists within this building. The proposal will further enhance the long-term prosperity and economic vitality of the downtown area and promote active transportation. The site is designated as general commercial in the Town of Amherstburg official plan. The general commercial designation allows for commercial establishments intended to serve the whole community, including retail, commercial, and residential uses above the first floor. The proposed height of the condominium complies with the policies in Section 4 of the town's official plan and the zoning bylaw. The site also allows for significant below-grade parking, well beyond the parking requirements in the zoning bylaw. Sections 2.6 of the PPS and 6.4 of the town's official plan address cultural heritage policies, including built heritage resources. Policy 6.4 of the official plan encourages preservation of the heritage values of the downtown area. The architectural design of the proposed structure is planned to be complementary to the historic character of the central business district with symmetrical and neoclassic design. Building materials and design elements of the existing building will be incorporated into architectural features of the new structure. Several historic features of the cultural heritage of Amherstburg have been incorporated into the new building and site. These features include a rope walk framing the entrances to the retail boutiques. And if you'll just give me a moment, I'd like to get this the projector going again so I can display what we're talking about here. I lost power, so just bear with me for 1 second, please.
Well, have we got plan B?
Chad, do you know something you don't know? Go on, Ed, try it.
All right.
All hands on deck, Chad.
We have liability coverage.
Thank you.
Dustin, oh, you're streaming.
Look at that.
He's gone. He started another rumor. He's not a tiger. David Price.
Yeah, not a tiger.
That's not the Blue Jays. What's going on here?
Who's your tiger? Not Austin Jackson.
No one.
Let's take plan B. Are we ready?
Let's continue on. Sure.
Okay.
We'll make do with
sure.
The presentation
yeah.
drawings, which are beautiful.
There are several historic features of cultural value that have been incorporated into the new building and the site. These features include a rope walk, recognizing the rope pulling and the making of rope that occurred in the Navy Yard Park. The rope walk will frame the entrances to the retail boutiques. The naming of the building as the Echo Riverside Condominiums, and the naming of the club room as the Marsh Room. The property will be subject to site plan control, at which point final design elements of the building and site will be determined and established in a development agreement. The proposed zoning bylaw amendment and application for draft plan of condominium was published and circulated to the required agencies, property owners, and municipal departments in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act and associated regulations. Correspondence was received from IRCA and from the Greater Essex County District School Board. IRCA, in their correspondence, advised that the lands are regulated under Section 28 of the Conservation Authorities Act, requiring a permit prior to undertaking any construction. IRCA also stated that they have no concerns relating to stormwater management and no objections to the approval of this application. An email was received from Peter Neese on behalf of the Greater Essex County District School Board, which states that they have no formal comments or requested conditions for this application, as there will be little to no pupil yield from this development and there are already established sidewalks in the area. A letter was also received from Gord Freeman, as well as an email from Marcelo De Luca. The letter and email were sent to council a couple of days ago for information. Mr. Freeman's letter highlights the following concerns, which I would like to respond to one by one. Mr. Freeman questions the opportunity for public input into the design of the building, which is located in the center of the historic core bordering the King's Navy Yard Park. The purpose of this public meeting is to hear comments of the community. Significant efforts have been made on the part of the developer and the architect to protect and complement the heritage elements of downtown. Can the facade of the Echo Building entrance be saved and used in the new building? With this building demolished, there will be no structural evidence that the Echo newspaper and building ever existed. The name of the building will be the Echo Riverside Condominiums and Echo Shops. Two plaques are being made explaining the history of the Echo property and the rope walk. The Echo office door surround will either be used around the one plaque in recognition of the Echo building or framing for the condo office door. The club room is intended to be called the Marsh Room. The structure should not exceed the height of the Salmoni condominium, as it would tower over neighboring structures even more than that building. The building is four stories, which is the same as the Salmoni building. The only difference is the roof style. The height of the building is within the maximum allowed in the zoning regulations of 18 meters or 59 feet. The building is proposed to be intentionally set back from Dalhousie to provide an appealing vista for residents and visitors. There were also questions about material. What will the material be? Exterior clad. The color is important if it is to blend into the streetscape. The developer and architect have consulted with several members of the Heritage Committee, as well as Steve Brown, the chief building official. The intent of the developer is to continue to enhance the downtown streetscape in sensitive, complementary color scheme and building materials. The architect and developer will continue to consult with Steve Brown very closely regarding the selection of materials and colors to ensure that it fits in with the streetscape of the downtown. The trees about the perimeter must be saved, as they're an integral part of the Navy Yard Park. The rhododendron garden on the north must be protected. The development agreement will address materials of this nature on the developer's property. Also, any request for tree removal on municipal property is subject to the approval of council based on the town's tree bylaw. Hoarding will be installed on the northern side of the property during construction to protect the adjacent rhododendron park. The letter also questions that there will be no allowance for more parking to accommodate the new businesses on the first level, as seen on the south elevation. The proposed plan does meet the zoning requirements for parking. Extra parking spaces are provided underground for the Echo Shop managers to rent. Also, there are four spaces in the courtyard area for short-term parking. There was a question about development charges, how they would be assessed and collected. The development charges will be based on the town's development charges bylaw, which will be one for each residential unit to be payable at the time of the issuance of the building permit. There was a question regarding traffic, parks, and heritage committees, whether they had been asked for their ideas and suggestions. The Heritage Committee has been notified and involved throughout the process. The meeting record from the Heritage Committee, meeting on May 22nd, identifies that Steve Brown discussed the intent to demolish the Echo Building at this meeting. The notification to other committees of council would be at council's discretion if they direct these applications to be sent to them. The committees are notified during the site plan control process. An email was also received from Marcelo De Luca, which I would like to read out for council's information. Dear Ms. Belanger, I'm writing this letter to let you and Town Council know that I am in complete support of the amendment to Zoning Bylaw 1999-52. As an owner of the property on Dalhousie, 237 Dalhousie Street, I would like to see a new condo building built on our street. It would certainly upgrade our property. At present, we face the old Echo Building, which looks like it needs updating and repairs. I am unable to attend this meeting due to previous engagement, but wish to voice my opinion. Thank you, Marcelo De Luca. In closing, it is recommended that this report be received, that pending council consideration of comments received at this public meeting, that Zoning Bylaw 2014-79 be considered at the August 11th regular council meeting, and finally, that administration be directed to advise the County of Essex that council supports draft plan approval for 238 Dalhousie Street, subject to draft conditions that may be imposed by the municipality. I would be pleased to respond to any questions.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that presentation and in your report. Are there any questions at this time for council? Perhaps they might want to wait until we listen to the applicant's representative, and then of course they can have input at that time. With respect to the applicant, Mr. Jeff Baker, and we have Mr. Toth here. Are you prepared? Do you want to come forward and make any presentations at this time, Jeff?
I might say the bulk of what I would have to say would simply be repeating the presentation that Rebecca has already made, and I don't intend to take up the time of everyone here that way. But I think Alex has some interesting things that he can make a
sure
presentation.
Thank you. Alec, if you would.
Thank you. Thank you, and welcome, everyone.
Is your mic on?
Welcome, everyone. See a lot of familiar faces, and for those of you that don't know me, my name is Alex Stoth, and I've been running the streets here, and I'm out in the county for about 40 years, so very familiar with the town of Amesburg, as all the towns along this corridor. So,
I think for council, by looking at you, Alec is Joe's brother, and he's a resemblance of Joe.
Identical twin.
Yeah, exactly.
Mirror image, in fact. So. Anyway, with that said, I'm really pleased tonight to be able to present to you what we feel is a very exciting new development for the town of Amesburg. It's been worked on for about a year now. We've been taking great care and diligence to ensure that the quality and the character and the legacy of the development that Amesburg has tried to carry on in the past 20, 30 years is maintained. So the Echo condominiums on the river, I think, is a very clear reflection of that, and as evidenced by the perspectives that are at least on display. Now, I was going to present with the photos, or with the screen, but I think I'll still do that, and I've got a few cheat sheets that I'm going to follow here just to go through some items that I really want to impress upon you as far as how the scheme was developed. The site plan, which would have been our first document, really shows you, and it was up there as you walked into the chambers, it shows you basically the overall site development that we have achieved. It's really a two-part development. First being the four-story tower, residential tower that faces the Detroit River. One of the key factors there is the placement of that not only is taken off Dalhousie Street. It also focuses on the Detroit River and frames and focuses on the Navy Yard Park entrance, which is a very critical thoroughfare, we feel, into the area that's been so well developed along the river. And then the north aspect, or the north side, also focuses in that direction. With that said, we have a two-part building, actually. The one imprint, or the lower part, the two-story part, really actually replaces the actual imprint of the old Echo building. Now, great care was taken to analyze the old building, and unfortunately, for economic reasons, development's not a hobby. And to try and redevelop a building where, in this time and day, in this era, accessibility is probably the most important aspect we're going to face in all areas of North America and or Europe and throughout. And to try and make that building economically feasible was just not a possibility. So with that said, what we've done is redeveloped the two-story part as well. And there's some interesting conceptual ideas that were developed there. The streetscape in that area is very critical. It has an identity of its own. So that said, the lower part of the two-story structure actually has, I call them haberdashery stores, but they're actually boutiques that will be facing the Navy Yard Park entrance. And on the property that is there now between the old building and the current new structure, we're going to be developing that with a paved sidewalk, which is wide and also abuts to the curb that is currently there. With that, that's a total introduction and or a invitation for people in that area to maintain and walk down that streetscape. And we feel that's very critical, and what we say it does is frames that Navy Yard entrance, as does the Salmoni. I was fortunate enough to work on the Salmoni and go through those times as well. And I think now when I look back upon it and I stand across the street, and I feel it fits in so well, it was such a wise decision. It's almost as if it was there. And I think what we're going to do is continue that legacy and maintain and frame that entrance, accent that area with this streetscape that even goes into and along the bottom portion. The actual four-story building, we have 17 units. And if I get these figures right, I think they range from about 1,550 square feet to about 1,780. We do have two penthouses located on the top floor. The primary focus of all the buildings are in three directions, primarily to the river, which are the major units, and there are also units facing the park. There are no units facing Dalhousie Street for a specific reason. Obviously, there are units that would not be ones that people would want. So with that said, the four stories is really strategically placed in the development. The two stories, we have four boutiques, and they range in size from 550 square feet to about 750 square feet at this point in time. They are actually, they will be built with demising walls, we call them, and what they're going to do is they're removable, totally, we can take them completely down. Should a tenant come along that does not prefer to 500 square feet, maybe there's one that will want the entire 2,400 square feet. So with that said, it gives us flexibility to allow tenants and boutique owners in the future and even currently to select and choose the units that they want. We have a lot of amenities that have been provided in the building itself. I'd like to comment on the first floor in the four-story residential tower. The developer came up with a very ingenious suggestion, I thought. In the former condominium building right now, what happens is as family and friends come into the area, there really is not an awful lot of places they can stay. And if there are, they're not of the quality that they're used to. And if you have family and friends from out of town, they certainly are looking for that. So we have put in two rental units on the ground floor in the front that face the northern park. And those units will be subject to rent by families and owners that are in that building. And also, maybe as the condo corporation deems, necessarily occupied by other rental people that are tourists, possibly. So it's a very nice option. I think it really suits the situation and answers a couple of minor problems that are located in town as far as situation for families. The other thing, the two-story structure, The second floor of that particular part are the common areas for the condominium residential development, and that has a large common room with self-kitchenette, and it's provided for owners of the condominiums, and it's also there for incidental use, possibly as the condo corp deems, if they want to rent it out for functions and whatever. That is also married to a outside patio in the middle of the building, which faces the Navy Yard Park entrance. And it has a barbecue area, and it's under roof, but open to air, and focuses in that direction again to, I think, complement and frame that site and really enhance the area. I'm trying to think what else I've missed here. Underground parking, I wanted to address that. Parking obviously is a commodity in that area. I mean, I know I walk a long way sometimes just to get to the location. Any given day, there may not be many parking spots, but we've gone to great lengths to provide an underground level that encompasses the entire site and provides 23 spaces. Those spaces are over and above what is required for that development for residential. We do in fact have 6 extra spaces, the intent of which would be to also provide 4 shop owners with additional spaces, and we would still have 2 extra spaces. Now we do also have surface parking. The 2 spaces located for the lease units or the rental units on the first floor are directly in front and above, or facing toward the Dalhousie side. So those aspects are taken care of, and we have 2 temporary loading zone spaces as well. As I spend time there's a lot of activity there. There are delivery trucks out there, and they have to be accommodated, and we have to work with those. There has also been a loading space worked into the front of the Dalhousie second story commercial area, which is a temporary situation. Again, just to implement and help, I wouldn't want to be a delivery truck driver in that area. I mean, it's very difficult to make deliveries. So I think these are small considerations also that enhance and begin to develop the aspect of the boutiques. I think the perspectives are fairly evident of the quality that we're looking for. We've gone to great lengths to try and incorporate and enhance what's there already. Great lengths to investigate materials. There's native materials here that are available to us, and I've used them probably 30 years. The quarry stone, key to it. The actual echo has elements which were discussed earlier, and we've actually cataloged and looked at those elements, because as that comes down, back in the time when that was built, those stone items were actually done by a stone mason, and they're very valuable, and I think they can be reutilized as per discussion here tonight. So that's another element I think really enhances what's being done here. I'm not sure what else to add. I think that pretty well covers it. I hope that really gives you a good scope and idea of the kind of care, the intent, the maintenance of the legacy of development that this town has enjoyed and continues to provide.
Thanks, Alec, for that presentation. I would at this time, just before I go to council, is there anyone in the public that would like to speak relative to this zoning bylaw amendment? If not, yes.
Is this the
please stand up and identify who you are.
Is this the only time the public will be able to speak?
This is a public meeting.
Okay. My name is Bill Cashmere. I'll speak to it. I got a couple items here I'd like to discuss. One is that this...
Perhaps you can speak into the mic here.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Bill Cashmere, and I just want to speak to a couple things. One is... the advertising for this public meeting, to me as a member of the public, is very lacking. It doesn't seem to be in the council agenda that's been published in the Rivertown Times with the other meetings, and it is not in the website under meetings. So it makes it very hard for somebody to find out, you know, about the location and time of such a meeting, or that there even is such a meeting. And I would say that it's really incumbent upon the town, when there are public meetings of any type, to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to know about it. That said, I did have a chance to speak to the architect just in terms of the design elements of the two-story section that faces Dalhousie Street. That's a little bit boxy, and I'm sure they can do a little more work, and he says they can do a little more work around it. Another item that is of concern is that there's already some talk that was addressed by the towns planner mentioning the possibility of cutting trees. And I mean, we've been there before, and it wasn't a good experience. And I would say this, public, what happens on the private land, I mean, I will acknowledge there is no heritage district regulation that will govern this building. To me, that's very unfortunate because council had an opportunity and had paid consultancies to put such in place, but it's languished and died on the vine. That being the case, the developer can pretty much do whatever they wish here on private land. But I, as a citizen of the town, would like to get some comfort that there were going to be no changes to the public lands around it, to the park, to the trees, etc., etc. And this is very, very big and a real concern. I may be the only one that has it, but I'm speaking to that now. So those are my observations. A little more work could be done on the front portion to, you know, minimize all the. When that is built, it's going to look like quite an expansive brick at that front section. And not that brick is unattractive, but it needs to be balanced windows and doors to be part of the streetscape, if you will. And that would only seem to be good design and good planning. And I would encourage council to ensure that these meetings are better publicized in the future, and to take care of our public lands when developments of this nature come to town. That's all I have to say.
Would you please respond relative to the question about the advertising of the meeting and where it would advertise for
this
meeting?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In response to the public notice for the meeting, again, as noted in the last public meeting at 4 p.m., there was an error in the Rivertown Times, and we are addressing that with the Rivertown Times currently. However, there was public notice on the website in the planning notices section. It says notice of public meeting, proposed draft plan of condominium, 238 Dalhousie Street, Thursday, July 31, 6 p.m., and there is a copy of the notice also posted.
And I think if you look at the material that's being used for this, when you first of all, we talked about, Rebecca, I wish you would respond to it, relative to trees being removed from public property.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There is a municipal tree cutting bylaw, so trees cannot be cut down on any town property unless a request first comes to council for approval. So in fact, that would be the process if there is a request for this or any other project
sure.
in the town.
And it's, I don't want people to come here and then try to put up scares suggesting that this council is arbitrarily cutting down trees on public property. That, Phil, is not the case here. And if you look at this particular building that is being constructed here, just go down the street away, there was a lighthouse apartment. I'm sure you're aware of that lighthouse apartment down there. And if you look at the amenities that were placed in there at that time, I think it's been said here on many occasions, there has been a lot of due care taken place here to ensure that the amenities in this building is going to be very eye-pleasing to the community, to the people that are living there, and it's going to serve this community in many, many years to come. So I, listening to the presentation, and Elika, to you, and of course the developer, we're very pleased with the effort, the time, and the commitment you have made to try and put forth something that is going to not only assist the Salmoni building, but it's going to be able to draw people in the downtown corridor that will see some activity generated from this particular development. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, may I just respond
sure.
a little bit to the comments? But it's we actually accept progressive forum. I mean, that's one of the key things to developing and working together is a progressive forum. With comments related to brick and it's not a major item. We actually have other items planned for those facades, one being that portico that is being removed from the Echo building. It's a stone portico that frames the current front entrance. We have every intent of reusing that, in fact, on the Dalhousie side or that side. And that will also be used to frame the plaques that have been proposed. There's items that we're using some of the coins. There's some diamond motif. There's houndstooth brick that's been developed on that, which is just a very beautiful detail. And that's reused in the upper chimney factory, underneath the stone, actually, underneath the boutique sill levels. So there's still further development to be done on this, but again, and progressively, we're willing, you know, developers are not here to ignore, for sure, particularly this one. Again, I did talk to Phil, and you know, those are good comments. We don't look at any little comments sometimes can change the whole direction of something. So we don't dismiss any comments, and we don't dismiss criticism, and progressive or proactive input at all. So we'll certainly take a lot of things into considerations, and a few minor things will change it. This isn't really to the point where we're building it yet. And with that said, I just wanted to add that as well.
Thank you. Mr. Wellman, did you have your hand up? No? Somebody back there? Go ahead. Gord, go ahead.
I'm Gord. My name is Gord Freeman. And if I just may stand up here, just enlighten you on the tree situation. What's the matter, Mr. Epps?
I'm communicating with the planner. Can you flip that mic on so we can, Paula can at least pick it up?
I'm sorry, what was that, Mr. Freeman?
Just to enlighten you about the tree situation, I just wanted to point it out to you. The four in the parquet, the four locusts, I was concerned about, and they're preserved here. So that's not a problem. Over here, however, there's a grove of eight trees in this area, right up here. And I think we have to be careful about those. Now, I spoke to Rebecca, and this is number four in my letter here. And I just wanted, so I gave Rebecca lots of notice ahead of time. We discussed it, Tony, about those trees. And so I'm just trying to make everybody well aware of it. There's two trees right over here.
Are you talking about trees on public property?
Yes.
They're not going to be tampered with.
Okay, but
Rebecca told you exactly the
yes,
bylaw that we
have
in place.
Yes, but they have to come before council, Mr. Mayor.
Well, but nothing can be changed, Gord, unless it's going to be done by this particular council.
Right.
And it's not taking place. So.
Right. I just wanted to enlighten the council of the situation.
Yeah.
And it's up to them, certainly.
Yeah.
They've got the last say.
That's right.
You have the last say. But those trees are pretty healthy, and in fact, I guess you have some arborists, Rebecca, that are going to look at the trees and have an assessment.
Sure.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Presently, we've got Jerry Waldron and Casey Goldhurst, who's a registered professional forester, doing a tree inventory and update for the town of several parks, Toddy Jones, Navy Yard. And so, in fact, this is something that the town is taking the initiative to update our tree inventory to understand the tree health of all of the trees
sure.
in several of the parks downtown right now.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Any questions of council at this time? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Mr. Todd, I just want to congratulate you for a wonderful design of this building and for the owner. And it's very reassuring for this council to hear that you are so willing to work with the people and the new owner wants to incorporate the historical features of the town and the echo of the building. And it's also reassuring for me to hear that you want to work with Mr. Kazarat and with the other people in Amherstburg. I'm not sure if I should direct this question to you or possibly I'll direct it to Rebecca. It's regarding the parking situation. For the boutiques, I know we think that there will be sufficient parking, but in that area, there appears to be 2-hour parking, all in the front of the building, and at the adjacent in the King's Navy Yard Park. Will that impede any of the store owners? Are there any boutiques that people would have to use more than 2-hour parking? That's my question.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Okay. Just a couple of thoughts around this. The current zoning requirement for that downtown area for the CG4 area is 0.33 parking spaces for each residential unit, 0.33, so not even one. And there is no requirement in the CG4, the downtown, to provide parking in the commercial area. That is something, though, right now that we're looking at in a very proactive fashion. We have a student on staff right now that you've seen before council, before Tyson. He's doing a parking study for us this summer. We're looking at this proactively because we're seeing the intention for enhanced development downtown and interest and economic stability and vitality. So in fact, we're being proactive, and what we're going to do is look at the availability of parking, and if it's sensed, and we're going to look at it even in the different quadrants of town specifically, and if we sense that there's issues, we're going to come back to council with options for how to resolve these issues. So that is something separately that we're working on this summer.
Yes, sure you may.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And could you please tell me what steps are being taken to preserve the King's Navy Yard parkette, because it's so close to the proposed building that we want to make sure that parkette doesn't get damaged. Could you tell us what steps are being taken to preserve that?
Well, I think even as construction starts, there's obviously protective barriers that are put up. We have no intention of disturbing the parkette property whatsoever. We don't need to be on it. There will be no traffic on it, construction-wise, unless somebody maybe wants to take a tour down there. But other than that, the intent is we stay on our own property as we do this development. We envision phasing into two portions. The four-story tower will go in first, and then as we get to the area, we're going to remove and put in the other two-story tower as well. So it's a phased and timed development. Their health and safety takes care. I mean, all these aspects have to be taken care of with today's litigious society, I guess. Compensation boards involved. I mean, all these regulatory boards are involved. So it's not that people will be allowed to run rampant there because they're working there. So the work will stay on the site.
Any further questions of the panel? Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I know what the will there be any expected encroachment on town property? Like, are they expecting to have to go to a committee of adjustment because of more needed space in the area?
No, I think Rebecca addressed that in her report clearly, that we're in compliance. So the critical issue is we're in compliance, and we're not looking for variances. We're not looking for anything that would be out of the ordinary to provide this development at this time. And I don't foresee we will be.
Rebecca?
And thank you, Mayor Hurst. The site-specific zoning furthers what Alex just said. The site-specific zoning is intended to address those minor tweaks that we needed. So in fact, that's the end of it. The site-specific zoning has been written to accommodate this specific development. So it provided the relief allowing the residential units on the main floor. And also the only other item that we had to put in the site-specific zoning was the reduced rear yard setback, but everything else is in compliance with the zone.
Any further questions? Councilor Pino.
Thanks, Elaine. Well, Alex, if I was to complain about anything, I would say I wish you had been here 2 years ago, because this is great. It looks good. But I do have a couple questions. Is the common room, how many square feet would that be?
I believe it's 1,200.
Okay, so it's not really, it's not banquet size, but it's like
we would probably comfortably accommodate 60 people in there.
Yeah.
We're going to have tables and chairs.
Oh, that's good. That'd be nice for the downtown core, I think. And another good idea I like is the two rooms that you say will possibly be rented out. I think that'll be a big feature. And I'm sure our Ann would love to see it in by this fall for our wine festival. Because there's always people looking for it. No, you know what? If all the concerns from the residents, if you can meet all those, that's great. I think it's a good it's a good project. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Thank you. Councilor
Davies?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I do have a few questions. Number one, I want to congratulate both the architect and the developer for coming up with such a brilliant idea that complements the historic district, but also will add to the tax base, and which is what we need. It'll also encourage many more people yet again to want to explore further into the park, which I think is really critical. It creates almost like a little shopping venue, and one day maybe I'll actually see Water Street developed, but that's another story. I have about three questions. One is just a response. Yes, I'm sure the arborist will, in relationship to the trees, I also am concerned that the drip line be protected as much as possible so it doesn't damage those trees that are on public property, which I think if now in construction it's a no-no to be tampering with root systems if they don't have to. So my questions are, I do like your design. I do believe that we can go further in relationship to reflecting the collective memory of the original building, because that is what you want to, people want to look at and say, oh, it's now on the ground. Where'd that, all those stairs that nobody could access go? But they still see the old echo that they saw before. Because I do believe it has to be Amherstburg specific architectural value, not necessarily just architectural value of age gone by in other communities. A couple of questions. I assume that although in the architectural drawing the sidewalk ends, but I assume that that's tying into the path that will go into the park that is there now. Is that
yes,
correct?
In fact, it was fully analyzed, Carolyn, that we tie in and continue that process that's been started there for introduction into the Navy Yard. Very critical factor in the development of this one.
Good, thank you. And the other question I didn't have an opportunity to ask earlier is, and it's just a question in relationship to wheelchair accessibility. I know we have it externally, but I do hope that you've taken into consideration internal doors
Yes.
That are not just for specific, but that a wheelchair accessible person could go into any of anybody else's apartment as well.
We've paid particular particular notice to that because we've put in a double elevator. That building really does not need a double elevator, number one. We have, for purposes of providing quick and adequate access for all, not to mention moving when one is locked down and the other isn't. And at the ground floor, totally accessible. We're utilizing 3 foot doors. The requirement is 2'10". We can in fact enhance with even larger doors in critical areas like the public office area and that. Obviously, it's a condominium building, and the public will be fairly minimal into its foyer.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Just a little bit more specific, though. I'm talking into what I'm asking for is the width of the door for each apartment building door.
Yes.
So each unit will
fully taken care of.
And my final question is the external space. Outside the front of the stores that would have potential for small bistro sitting areas. People everywhere in Canada want to stay outside as much as possible, but they may want to stay at the place where they purchase their candies or their hot chocolate.
That's a very good point, Carolyn, because what happens there is if you were to be standing there in a parking lot right now, you would see the parking spaces, you would see that curb that lines and goes all the way down toward the river. Well, there's total infill between that curb and our building face. Now, our building is not exactly on the property line. We are, in fact, set back from it. So the total width, whatever you're seeing between the current Echo building and that curb, is going to be pavers. And the ability to put outdoor patios there and bistros, as you so adequately put it, is depending on the occupancy. If it's a deli, if it's an ice cream shop, if it's whatever.
And just a supplementary question, and that might therefore be a question for Rebecca. Rebecca, would we need a bylaw adjustment for the permission to have people sitting outside in front of the building structure? Is that a bylaw issue?
Indoor patios, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Outdoor patios are allowed to be associated with restaurants and eating establishments. We may need a form of agreement, though, if we're setting up patio areas like beyond their property and into the parkland. We may need to enter into an agreement to acknowledge that, actually. So that would be something separate from the zoning bylaw.
And why I ask that question is because right now it looks like a sidewalk, but you want, for health and safety reasons, you would want to know that there was accommodation for sidewalk and accommodations for tables so that the one didn't interfere with the other, and that's just a thought in the design.
I just want to say, listen, let's stay with the amendment to the zoning bylaw. There's a process in place that will allow us ample time to deal with site plan agreement. But I also want to add, I think it's refreshing to understand, and I think this body should feel the excitement and the reward that can come from a development such as this. You know, they've paid attention to detail, and this wasn't something that was just done in a knee-jerk fashion. They've been working on it, I believe, I would say, for over a year. And the question that I've heard posed from this particular legislative body, they have the answers for. They have already taken the steps to address them before you, they've been addressed before you even address them. And that's something I think we should applaud. This is exciting times here, and I hope that we can see what has taken place here. It's very, very important, and I'm very appreciative to sit here and listen to the pain that you have taken to make sure attention to detail has been made. It's going to be a win situation for Amherstburg. Councillor Sutton?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I don't have any questions, just comments. I see this as a real anchor project for our community, especially for our downtown core. I see a developer who's willing to work with all concerned to ensure that you know, our municipal assets, especially the King's Navy Yard Park and the attached park, are you know, protected during construction. I see the ability to increase our tax base, obviously, both residential and commercial growth there. I see the ability to, you know, engage the downtown core and being a little more pedestrian friendly and, you know, promoting that active type of lifestyle. And most of all, I see a reason to celebrate some of the investments that we've made in the past that have allowed, you know, this type of development to occur. You know, that's why you lay the groundwork as a council so that you can attract this type of development. And Lord knows we've had enough doom and gloom over the past year. You know, it's important you celebrate your successes as well and celebrate the people who are willing to bring that type of development and investment to your community. So certainly I'm in full support of the zoning bylaw amendment, and I trust that as we work through the next steps in site plan control that we'll continue to put Amherstburg's needs first and, you know, come to a project that is really going to be well received by all.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to reiterate what everybody else has said. I'm totally in agreement with this whole project, and I'm excited as well. And with that, if I may, I'd like to move the recommendation be received and pending council consideration of what written and oral comments received at this public meeting, zoning bylaw 79 for 2014 be considered at the August 11th, 2014 regular meeting, and administration be directed to advise the approval authority, the County of Essex, that council supports draft plan approval for 238 Delaware Street, file number 37-CD-14001, subject to conditions that may be imposed by the municipality.
Supported by Councilor Davies. With no further discussion? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I was just asked to get that administration could send a copy of everything that we received to the Heritage Committee in its entirety and also to the Parks Committee.
On the motion, all in favor? Motion is carried. Thank you. Next item.
Next item is the presentation, well, no, it's a minor modification to the draft demolition agreement temporary use bylaw 5775 concession 5 North Amherst Street.
With respect to that, go ahead, Rebecca.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. A couple of months ago, council approved temporary use bylaw for 5775 concession 5 North to allow a second dwelling to be constructed on an agricultural parcel so that the mother, who's in her late 80s, could continue to reside in her house as long as she's physically able. One of the requirements that went along with that was to enter into a demolition agreement to be registered on the title of the property so that when the mother is no longer able to reside in the house, that the older dwelling would be removed. As we went through preparation of the demolition agreement, we noticed the other lawyer found that the mother had a life interest on the property, and so we had to make some minor tweaks to the demolition agreement and acknowledge Mrs. LaFromboise in the demolition agreement. So what's before you this evening is some very minor changes to the demolition agreement, adding Mrs. LaFromboise's life interest and protecting her interest that she's able to reside in her house as long as she would like to.
Okay, Councilor Sutton.
I'll move the receipt of that report and that council approve the minor modification proposed for the draft demolition agreement and direct administration to have the agreement registered against the title of the property.
Supported by Councilor Davies. Any further discussions? 3-4, all in favor? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Councilor Sutton.
Motion to adjourn.
It's been moved, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. All in favor? Thank you. Have a safe trip home.